Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Several municipalities in Northumberland have implemented policies regarding public behavior towards staff and politicians. A growing number of incidents has spawned this response, as some residents are becoming increasingly rude and belligerent. Meanwhile, members of the public argue they are frustrated by the lack of transparency and consultation. On today's show, the issue of public decorum is front and center. David Dawson, Chief Administration Officer of Alnwick Haldimand, sent out a public reminder to residents about its zero-tolerance policy after an incident. He will discuss the changing dynamics between his staff, politicians, and the public. I'm so pleased to have with me today David Dawson, the CAO for Alnwick Haldimand Township. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks for having me.
The township issued a reminder to residents about its zero-tolerance policy. Now, before we get into the weeds regarding this, can you explain what caused you to issue the public statement?
To cut to the chase on it, what caused us to do it was a threat that was received by one of our staff members, by someone of the public. And when we look at governance ordinance with respect to our municipality, there's policy, there's bylaws, rules of the road, things that we all need to do. And one thing that seems to have become more and more obvious in today's day is that the art of debate has been lost. And that is with respect to the appropriate way to handle something that you're not happy with. Or if you find that someone has held you to an accountable level that you don't find appropriate, that there's an appropriate way to deal with that. And so we deal with many different customers that come to the front counter. We deal with many different people that come to council meetings, to even to the point of delegation. There's an appropriate way to express your difficulties. There's an appropriate way to express your opinion. And once you've crossed over the line of what is considered inappropriate, whether it be legal or not legal, then we feel that there's a responsibility for us to address it.
I'm wondering, without identifying any individual, can you describe the level of the threat or the level of the incident so that we can get a better picture of the kind of thing that your staff faced?
So legally, we're not allowed to disclose who any of the individuals are. So with respect to the type of threat is more along the lines if an individual feels threatened. So if you you take that beyond the role of what they do in their capacity of the municipality, and you start to threaten their well-being or even the ability to intimidate them and threaten their point where, you know, just to walk down the sidewalk, they're going to have to look over their shoulder. It is just absolutely not appropriate. If you're threatening somebody's role within a corporation publicly, or with regards to the role that we all play in public office, there's an appropriate way to come in and have a conversation to express that. Once you take that over the line where you are merely meandering for the sake of trying to intimidate or to have that individual second guess anything that they do in their daily life, it's completely not appropriate.
Was this individual that was threatened, were they a senior person? Were they a junior person, somebody in the field? Can you give us just an idea of the level that that person was at?
Due to the size of this municipality and the number of staff, no, I won't do that for you.
How do you define defamatory behavior?
So in this situation, or I guess in any situation, actually, defamatory behavior would be anything that would create another to question the purview of which they provide in their position. So if somebody were to create an opportunity that would suggest that somebody's not qualified, would suggest that somebody does not have the skill set, would suggest that they're not doing their job, any type of behavior like that with regards to our municipal setting, we have seen all of these types of behaviors, and none of it is appropriate in, from any standpoint.
You've already described for us a bit about what is threatening behavior, but are there any other kinds of behavior that fall under these bylaws or these ordinances that you have, these regulations, that is not mentioned in anything that you've sent out so far?
Well, I can give you something that's a little bit outside of the scope of our procedural bylaw and or our policies here, but something that has definitely been within what I have encountered anyway. There's a line that states that to be part of this, let's say, ministry, or be part of this public office, or be part of this nonprofit organization, your behavior shall be such that it is non-reproach at all times. And that is a very good line to go by. There are many different ways of doing things. And I should probably state that I don't believe that any of us are perfect. And had I not been on the other side of the fence at one time, I might not have been able to make this comment to you today. So we all have to learn by many different regards. I'll even go on to say that there are so many that are learning from social media today. So many that are learning from watching the news. And those of us as leaders within government, public office, we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to act in a manner that is above reproach. However, you could turn the news on tonight and you could witness behavior that is unbecoming of public office. It's actually unbecoming of anybody wanting to work with a group of people. And it seems that we have been on this slippery slope, or this slide that is just even going faster today than ever before. But a lot of us learn by watching, by what we observe, by what we surround ourselves with. And if a public leader steps up one rung of the ladder and sets the stage, it allows the next person to step another rung, if not two or three more rungs, in the realm of poor behavior.
I want to come back and explore that with you in more detail a little bit later, but just sticking with what we've been talking about so far, you mentioned one incident. How often does this kind of behavior happen?
Actually, we're really fortunate. It has not been that common. There have been times that things are questionable, for sure. But the actual item of stepping over the line, I've only actually been privy to observing that a couple of times. Some people are very good at being very careful. They know just how far to step. When I'm asked about it, I think that one of the sayings that you should have, or something you should always have in your pocket, is don't step close to the line. Stay far enough away from it.
We've talked about staff, but what about politicians? How does this apply to politicians, or does it?
It applies to all of us. I'm not going to identify any one individual 100%, and I won't speak about our council either, but I will say as a blanket statement that all of us should be very careful as to the behavior we emit. you know, you have a conversation out behind the barn, that's one thing. But when you bring that conversation into a place that is for public viewing, making public decisions, you should be very careful as to your language and your conduct on how you portray things. And it wouldn't matter if that is our counsel, if it is one of our residents coming forward to speak, if it's a group of individuals coming to show their support for a specific item. There is appropriateness in all of it. And there seems to be one thing that has been lost for a long period of time now. I certainly think it's gotten worse since the pandemic. And that is the respect that is owed to the mere history to which our government foundations were created. And you probably witness, for lack of a better term, you witness a lot more disparities today. You witness a lot more disgruntled behavior, disgruntled people leaving. It seems that we've gotten to a time that we've really lost touch of what is appropriate.
Now, the policies that you have in place, are they only applicable to verbal communications, face-to-face, or does it apply to things like email, or what about social media?
Everything, anything that is considered. Our communication channels today are well beyond just verbal or in person. So anything that you would see on social media is included, email is included, text messages are included, contact in any form is included within those policies.
Now, you've mentioned already in our conversation that you see this behavior taking place, but in your experience, is it increasing? And if it is, beyond the sort of general comments you've made, what do you think is motivating people to be like this?
So your first part of your question, is it increasing? I'm not so sure if it's increasing or if it has increased already based on a certain time point with regards to politics.
So what would that be then? When do you see the pivot point then, a tipping point?
Pivot point really seemed to exacerbate maybe around 6 or 7 years ago, definitely before the pandemic. But I also think that it has had to do with people's growing comfort with social media and different avenues to portray messages. So any vehicle that creates that median for us to do messaging or send messages, I think that people are growing even more comfortable with it. But I also think that it is that latter visual aspect. And that is, one person takes one rung, they get away with it. Then the next person, somebody will come along and take that next rung. They'll get away with it. And it seems to create its own energy.
Then the zero tolerance policy, how does that then, using your metaphor, the rungs, how does that take the rungs away or put a stop to the ever-increasing bravado that people have in expressing themselves in maybe a not appropriate way?
Policies are great. They're on paper or they're a file now. But they're no good unless you're willing to stand up. And it takes... In every situation, it takes somebody to draw a line. I think that if you're going to be a leader, that you need to know where that line exists. And at the point where the people that you work with become uncomfortable or to the point where they raise their hand, I think and I feel that they deserve the support. And we have a responsibility to do that.
About a year ago, there was an incident at a council meeting where short-term rentals was on the agenda. The meeting devolved into chaos and the police were called. How does the zero tolerance policy address those kinds of situations?
Well, in that situation, the zero tolerance was the deputy mayor at the time that was officiating the meeting called the meeting. That was the zero tolerance aspect. We will not tolerate this outburst. Therefore, we will no longer be conducting this meeting and everybody can leave. The point to which police were called to the situation was the point where people were not dispersing as they should have been. But when you come back to that type of incident, that's the example of behavior that does not belong in council. It doesn't belong as part of that public meeting. However, if you look right across the province, the country, and beyond, it has become far more commonplace today than ever before. And I don't think that we can say that statement without knowing, or at least admitting that there's two sides to that coin. The one side is public would like answers. They want accountability and transparency. On the other side of that, I do believe that politicians and senior staff everywhere need to realize that we're here to do a job. We're here to produce for the customer who is the resident. We're here to produce for the customer that is the taxpayer. When we turn a blind eye to that, or we create policy that merely makes it difficult to simply blow your nose, we have a problem. And I also think that a lot of the stuff, some behavior comes from just people who don't know any better. Some of the behavior comes from people that are fed up. They're tired. They've had enough. They're taxed beyond taxed. They want answers, and I don't blame them. But I do believe that we still have to respect the history to which has created these forums for us to have these meetings. And we have to look at ways of being different today than we were before. There's a lot that goes into it. But sometimes I think the behavior comes from pure malice. That's okay. I get it. Sometimes a pure behavior comes from, again, those that are just to the point of they've had enough.
In the shadow of that incident, have things changed over the past year?
Good question. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think by and large, I have seen a room full of and I can speak to our council chambers. I've seen a room full of very respectful people. I don't believe that there has been another incident anywhere near as close to that incident from a year ago. I think that people, for the most part, in council chambers have been very respectful. When we get to the point of contact, there are many ways for people to contact our staff and our council members, and that we need to ensure that all of those are appropriate as they should be. And if they're not, then they're handled in another direction.
What factors do you contribute then to this change?
The change from a year ago?
Yeah.
Sorry. We had said that there hasn't been much change from a year ago. Or are you referring to the change that I've seen over a period of time?
Yes, that's what I'm referring to. Thank you.
The period over a period of time. So I think that I've identified that before. I think people watch and they listen and they learn, and then things become out of control very quickly.
All right. There were a number of resignations from the Heritage Committee in May. Yes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did that have anything to do with how people were treated?
So there's always two sides to the message. There's the receiver and there's the person delivering the message, right? Okay. So to deliver the message, we have a responsibility in office. We have to ensure that what is being done is following legislation. We have to ensure what's being done is following policy. We need to make sure that, you know, out there in our municipality, that our bylaws are being followed. There's all kinds of things that we can go through with regards to that. When it's determined that a group, be it a committee of council or any group that has a responsibility to the corporation, if they're not following what is legislatively required, we have a responsibility to announce it, deliver the message, and say this is the way it is, it needs to be. So yes, the message can be delivered multiple ways. It can also be received multiple ways. And the way it's received is not always the way it was intended to be delivered. And therefore, you have to kind of sort through the smoke and mirrors. If we sort through the smoke and mirrors, we get to the point where was the committee following what was legislatively required? And the answer is no. That's okay. So then we have to address it. But when we address it, then we have an option. The option is we can start to follow what's required because that's what we need to do. Or we can decide that we're going to take many different avenues. Regardless of the particulars with respect to this, our responsibility as senior staff of the township is to ensure that we are following what is legislatively required. And that's about as much as I can comment on that.
But it wasn't a case of anyone crossing lines in terms of behavior or treatment of others. Is that what you're telling me? So in other words, you didn't have to invoke your zero tolerance policy to mitigate this situation.
I would suggest that we had to refer to it, yes. But with respect to any specifics in regards to that, I would not be able to comment that.
Do you know what motivated council to adopt a workplace violence and a workplace harassment policy back in 2020? Because that's really where this zero tolerance thing started, as far as council and policy are concerned.
So we as an employer are required to have one. Yeah. So regardless of when it got adopted here in Alnwick Haldimand, as an employer, we're required to have.
So it wasn't a particular incident or something happened that inspired everybody to do this. It was more of a requirement legislatively that you had to adopt it. Is that correct?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does the township provide training to its employees to help identify unwanted behavior?
Yes, we are required to provide that training.
Do you train staff and politicians in any de-escalation techniques? Is that part of the training?
I personally have not had any training that I have delivered to council with respect to this. With respect to our procedural bylaw, our clerk has delivered training to our council. With respect to training in overall governance and roles and responsibility as council, our integrity commissioner has provided that training, yes.
And what about staff?
So staff are required to have that type of training at some point within their career. As far as this municipality delivering that at any particular time, I don't remember a time that that has actually happened.
So I appreciate what you're saying is that people get training to understand the responsibilities that they have in doing their job and to say, here's what's unwanted. But I'm wondering about de-escalation, because that's a different kind of thing where, you know, how do you get somebody who's upset down rather than letting them churn themselves? Do you do any of that kind of training at all?
No, we have not. And I have not witnessed any kind of that kind of training actually throughout my career. I think it's a good idea. You brought up another point, and that is behavior within a council meeting. You know, how do you behave in front of council? How do you present in front of council? What are the type of information that you need to bring forward? All of that, I think, is very valid and likely should be addressed. There, whenever we identify a problem, and I think that's probably why we're discussing this today, is that obviously it's the identification. There was a problem. Whenever there is a problem, there are multiple sides to it. And certainly when we get analyzing it, there are multiple ways that we could have, should have, or would have done things differently. And that affords us the opportunity of experience. So these are all great items to discuss. And I hope that a lot of people, if anybody listens to this, or when they do, I hope that they take this into consideration, because one of the interesting things, and I'll just have a bit of a sidebar, is that When you step into the CAO role, there's no book, there's no cookie cutter to which you should follow. There's guidelines, there's policy, there's legislation, there's a nice big book called the Municipal Act. But by the way that you express your intent and or deliver your intent and set the municipality up for success or failure, there's no real guide. And that's okay too. But I think that your questions obviously indicate that there probably is an opportunity for some training there.
What do you offer to help staff deal with these additional stresses and strains? What support do you give them?
Well, first of all, before anything were to happen, your staff should feel supported by their leader. If they don't, then at first you have a problem. There are many aspects to relationships, and your staff do need to feel that you, number one, have their back, that you are there to support them, that when they are challenged, that you have some suggestions or potential answers for them. I think a lot of that starts even before you're in a spot where you are going to have a problem or potentially a problem. But to go a little further than that, as an individual, once you're already in the problem, it takes a while to identify it and to say, oh, geez, you know, did I just hear that? And I got to think about it. You have to absorb it. And it would be great if we had more opportunities to perhaps pause, collect our thoughts in any situation, and then move forward.
I guess what I was most interested in was, you know, this must raise anxiety levels when you're dealing with this and after an incident takes place. I'm just wondering, sort of post-incident, do you provide support, counseling, mental health, days off, anything that might mediate or mitigate some of these additional anxieties that staff are facing?
All the staff know that all of that is available to them if they would like to. So they go to our HR person and they do express how they're feeling. And then our HR has opportunities for people to go and seek if somebody needs to talk to somebody, if somebody needs to take a couple days off. We do have policy and programs in place for that.
What about the politicians? Now, when you run for office, part of that, I guess, unspoken aspect is that you, at some point, you're going to piss people off. Where do we draw the line between people who are upset or passionate about a topic and their right to freely express themselves against abhorrent behavior? How do we determine that?
Well, there is no specific training for council members for that. I believe that, you know, once you win the election and you enter into office, you're there with your own person. You know, as far as how you conduct yourself, there are ways to deal with those that don't conduct themselves appropriately. But really, it's your own self. You're very much on your own. We provide training through understanding the Municipal Act and the role of council versus the role of staff. But whether a council member understands that or believes that, that's up to the individual. One of the great things that our integrity commissioner said in the last training was that a council member is meant to come to council with an open mind, a clean slate. They're meant to come in and be there to listen. They listen to what is presented and they make decisions based on what is presented. If what is presented, the council member or council members feel that they need more information, then they should ask to defer and they can gather more information to come back to a vote at a later date. But even still, you're meant to come to council with an unbiased opinion, meaning that you're there to act on behalf of the best interest of the residents as a whole. You're not there to drive a personal agenda. You're not there to make a decision that will benefit 10% of the people. you're there to really keep an open mind and to understand what is exactly coming at you and think beyond today. This decision, how will it affect tomorrow? And if we kept that in our minds, I think that we would have a lot more successful council meetings. And I'm not just referring to ours. I've watched a lot of videos with a lot of different council meetings. And so I'm referring to other ones that are out there as well. And I think we get stuck.
When you start to draw lines, some people respond by saying, hey, wait a minute, you're censoring me. You're impeding my freedom of speech. You're hampering my rights. How do we draw the lines between people's freedoms and then, as we've been talking about, abhorrent behavior?
Good question. I do believe that freedom of speech, you're entitled to speak as you wish. But we have guidelines that you need to follow when we're in professional public meetings. If you would like to have freedom of the speech and yell at the top of your lungs on the street corner and tell the world what you think, fantastic. But in our, specifically to this point, in our council meetings, there is an appropriate manner of which to conduct yourself. You can get your point across very sternly if you choose, using appropriate language, using appropriate examples, and without intimidating, bullying, or defaming people. There are appropriate ways to do it. As an example, and this is a wide example, I've been in a situation before where I have made a comment that an individual cannot use the municipality to intimidate or defame or go after another business that is in competition with them. You can't use the municipality as a vehicle to do so. So we have to be careful on what we allow and certainly where we draw that line. But if we draw the line at appropriate, then obviously that's subject to discretion, but we still want to keep it to a point where at least people might leave the meeting feeling defeated, but in a fair way.
I'd like to go back to something we started to talk about early in our conversation, and that was social media platforms. These provide ample opportunity for people to air their grievances. What, if anything, can the township do to mitigate the impact of comments online?
Well, we can post, we can make all of our posts so that you can't comment on them. And then therefore it's just merely information. We have had very good conversations here with staff about creating our Facebook page and messaging through social media, LinkedIn, and our web page, that we would like the township to be a trusted source of information. A lot of information that gets portrayed on social media is false, and it becomes up to the reader to decipher that. You can certainly create a lot of make-beliefs on social media. It's fake news, right? I mean, that's a lot of papers have been written on that now. So,
how bad is it for staff, though? I mean, when they go into some of the groups and some of the posts that are out there, I mean, is that a really sore spot in terms of how much you can say or do when people are out there, as you've been just described, propagating misinformation and disinformation?
I don't think it's any secret when you step up to senior office that you're going to become the subject of armchair quarterbacking or the victim of people's opinions. And I understand that. And I think everybody's entitled to that. It's at the point where people will, as an example, post a very discouraging message, and then they'll grab your personal email address personal social media address and tag you in that post just to make you look bad. And then that creates the segue for them, people to go and look at your private information. But I also think that people need to realize that when you're on social media, your personal information that you put on there is no longer private. It's up to everybody. Unless you create your social media page to the point where you make it private and you only allow your friends to see it. But it certainly makes staff aware, people in public office, makes them aware that there probably needs to be a whole other level of training as to how you look after that for yourself, because it does affect your overall mental health. There are people out there that will just go and hunt your information down and look to defame you for no apparent reason.
Do you ever have to think to yourself, I just have to have tough skin to do this job?
Oh, God, yeah.
Do you ever tell that to your employees?
So, no.
Okay.
But personally, I have definitely thought that. I thought that long before stepping into this position. We cannot make the world perfect. Somebody has to take the brunt of the storm or something. We're all built differently. We're all made differently. I've been on the antagonistic end, so I understand what that's like. I understood that stepping in this position that you're going to become subject to scrutiny. I get it. But I think one of the things that helps us remain mentally healthy all day or every day, the best that we can, is that I have an oath to myself, and that is I'm here to provide customer service. I'm here to do the best I can. I don't put my socks on every day thinking I'm going to fail. I've never been that. I believe that every day is glass half full. And we have to look at it that way. I don't believe we can create perfect, but I think we can find settlement. I think we can find common ground in a world where common sense almost no longer exists.
What do you think it'll take to maintain civil discourse within the township?
Well, I don't think that it's uncivil. I think that you can't label everybody with the same color. That's not fair, nor is it appropriate. You might have one or two activists that decide that they're going to do something silly, but that doesn't mean that you paint everybody that way. You look at the entire Northumberland County. It's a beautiful place to live, beautiful place to work. There's a lot of people that would like to protect it and keep it that way. At the end of the day, the municipality, the townships are governed by policy set down by province, set down by federal, things that we have to do. It's not necessarily our fault. We have council that comes in and has to rein over budget, has to rein over local taxes for sure. But there's a lot of the job that is already set out that you have to do.
Well, with all due respect, you issued the zero tolerance policy again to remind people.
Correct.
So to say to me right now that, you know, there is civil discourse, that isn't quite correct, because you had to issue this because there's been an incident. I just wonder, looking forward, what would you suggest in the future if things don't change, if people continue to do this and you continue to need to invoke the zero tolerance policy?
So I will repeat it again. Just because there has been an incident,
okay,
doesn't mean that that's the entire community. That would be completely unfair. Is it an isolated incident? I really hope so. I really do. Do I think we have to behave this way? No, I don't. But then again, a year ago, we had an outburst in a council chamber and we had to deal with it. And if it happens again, not will it, but if it happens again, will I be surprised? No, I won't be surprised. But I am reminding people that we have a zero tolerance. We will handle it in such a fashion. If you would like to come and have a really nice discussion, we're all ears. But if you want to come in haste, or you want to come in an attempt to intimidate, the answer is no. We're not interested.
David Dawson, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Of course. Thank you very much.
That was David Dawson, Chief Administration Officer of Alnwick Haldeman. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.